The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Whether you're a pistachio purist who loves the experience of cracking them open, or you love the convenience of no-shell pistachios like myself, Wonderful Pistachios is the perfect healthy snack for when hunger strikes. And there are a bunch of tasty flavors to choose from too, like honey roasted, smoky barbecue, jalapeno lime, and more. Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Welcome back to another episode of Paper Route, y'all. This is Corey Holmes, and joining me today is none other than Ashley Nicole Moss and Brandon the Beast Marshall.
Yes, sir.
Wow, you threw his nickname in there. I went first, but like he got a nickname and everything.
Do you even have a nickname?
When I was on radio, fun fact, it used to be Ash Cash, but don't call me that.
Ash Cash?
That used to be my name.
I don't know. You might get introduced as Ash Cash.
Please don't call me that. I hated that nickname so much. They used to call me that on radio. They'd be like, and now Ash Cash. I'm like, please don't say that. Like, I hated that name.
Ash Cash, let's go.
Ash Cash, I hated that name so much.
Ash Cash, you cool with starting
my
fast?
My mom
Ash
hated Cash. That name. She's going to yell at you. Okay. Go ahead,
all right,
Corey.
All right, guys. So now, we're going to start fast. We're going to start with our Factor Foolish.
Well, Corey, you know what they always say in football.
What's that?
Start fast, finish strong.
There you go.
Let's go.
There you go. Let's do it. So before I read this first statement of fact or foolish, remember this is when, you know, they'll determine whether it's fact or foolish, and they have to explain their reason and why. This first one, right? So yesterday on the Rich Eisen show, you know, he spilled a little bit of tea, you know, because he said there's a lot of tea spilled at the NFL Combine. And one piece of information that he grabbed was that Tom Brady may potentially unretire. Now, I mean,
Jesus. Oh, my God. Yeah. I'm not going to say the Lord's name in vain. Continue. I'm sorry.
And we've all been here before, of course, right? But you guys, this is the statement. Tom Brady is experiencing detachment issues.
Tom Brady is experiencing detachment issues. Can we first go back to February 1st, Ashley, Corey, and take a look at this video? Manderville, I don't know if you have this video or not, if you have this teed up, but I would love to listen to Tom Brady's retirement announcement and then respond to that. Let's see if our guy Manderville has it teed up for us.
Good morning, guys. I'll get to the point right away. I'm retiring for good. I know the process was a pretty big deal last time, so when I woke up this morning, I figured I'd just press record and let you guys know first. So I won't be long-winded. Like, you only get one super emotional retirement essay, and I used mine up last year. So I really thank you guys so much to every single one of you for supporting me, my family, my friends, my teammates, my competitors. I could go on forever. There's too many. Thank you guys for allowing me to live my absolute dream. I wouldn't change a thing. Love you all.
Woo, Corey, I just can't see it. Ashley, I can't see it.
Can't see what?
I can't see Tom Brady coming back.
Like, I hope not, because I can't go through another one of those videos. Why is the camera so close to your face, Tom?
So this is foolish. You know, look, I thought Tom was going to come back. I was shocked that he made this announcement as quickly as he did. That announcement was February 1st. I thought it was going to take a little bit longer for Tom to make that announcement. And I thought that announcement was going to be him potentially going to Miami. That video was shot, you know, in Miami. The Dolphins, you got Tua who's banged up. What's going to happen with Tua? But because he came out as quickly as he did, you know, he's enjoying himself with his children down here in sunny South Florida. I just can't see him doing it, Ashley. Tom Brady coming back, it's over. It's done. It's done. It's done. That's embarrassing. I wouldn't say it'd be embarrassing, but to unretire twice, that's a lot.
It would be It would be pretty, he'd be a sociopath. Let me just say that. Brady is the ultimate competitor, but like, okay, the first time you did it, it was like, we knew it, the GOAT's coming back. The second time it was like, all right, it's about time. Right. You know, it makes sense. If he unretires a third time, Tom, you're an unserious person. You got $300 million waiting for you to sit behind a desk, what, one day a week? Why on earth would you come back? I get it. I love the grind. I love the hustle. You know, I get it. I'm here for it. That's amazing. Invest that energy into your business. Invest that energy into your family. Invest that energy into this next chapter of your life. Please, for the love of God, do not step back foot onto a football field. You can't keep getting away with this. This is asinine. I don't know how, you know, factual, you know, on the spectrum of fact or fiction, exactly like what, where this is leaning towards more, but for the love of God, please don't come back, Tom. You have nothing left to prove. In the words of Giselle, what else do you have left to prove? You've done it all. There's no reason to do this. You don't have to do this.
Well, no, he wants to play. He loves to play the game.
I'm going to be married to Idris Elba. He's married. Like, sometimes you have to face reality that, like, what you want and what you should do are two drastically different things. You already unretired. You've won multiple. You are the GOAT. I can understand coming back, Brandon, if there's something left to prove. I can understand coming back if you have that one more Super Bowl that you want to win. You have that one more record you want to break. You're this close being the greatest of all time. You go ahead and you come back and you say, I'm going to give it a final shot. Tom, you are the greatest. Nobody is going to surpass you anytime soon.
Oh, no, hold
Not
on,
even
though.
Patrick hold Mahomes on, hold on, is going to surpass hold, you.
But listen.
You're the best. It's okay. Be the best.
Yeah, but listen, I said it would be foolish for him to come back. But at the end of the day, like, who are we to say when a man should retire? Like, if, okay, you say that we say that there's nothing left to prove. You are right. 100% correct.
Mm-hmm.
But what if he's just the love of the game? He's at home. There's nothing to do.
There's a lot to do. Yeah, he has a $300 million
I'm gonna tell you right now. I'm gonna tell you right now that is so uncomfortable for anybody that's went there, that's gone their entire life working 9 to 5, 9 to 5, and then you come home. Man, that's a huge shock to your system. That's a huge shock to your body. Now, obviously, you got to start at some time that transition. But right now, there's no wifey at home. The kids are in and out. Right, I can't even speak to the kids because I don't know a situation there. But Tom Brady's just sitting there. He's looking at the opportunity. Like, man, it's so easy to win in the NFL right now. What if he's thinking about going to the Jets?
This is not a typical athlete retiring. Tom Brady has TB12 production.
Doesn't matter.
He has his clothing line. He has his health business.
Nothing.
He has a Fox correspondent. Analyst job waiting for him.
And
he
nothing
has calendar,
feels like running
his,
out that
it's
tunnel.
It's not gonna feel like stepping on the gridiron. I get that. But you cannot say that this man is retiring and going into the abyss and has nothing waiting for him. He has a life already waiting for him, a next chapter already written for him. That is more than a lot of guys who retire from the game, and you know this. You wake up one morning and you have absolutely nothing to do, and you're like, now what? Who am I? Brady, the businessman, is going to immediately start in his retirement. It's no different than the late, great, rest in peace, Kobe Bean Bryant. When he walked away from the game, he focused on the Mamba Academy. He focused on his production company.
But listen,
he had so many things that he was occupying
his time. But Tom can still do it. I'm going.
Kenny?
2022, played 17 games, 4,600 yards, all right? 25 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. Tom can still do it. Why
he's
not?
He's watering down his legacy every time he comes back. And it's not to the standard in which we are accustomed to seeing Tom Brady play. You were already cemented as the GOAT, and you and I both know this. The business of sports is what? What have you done for me lately? And Brady last season, the memory people had was, yeah, Brady didn't look so great.
So basically, what I hear,
he comes back and he looks worse than last season. Then what?
What do you mean worse? That wasn't him. That was the team.
Let's just say he comes back and the team.
So basically,
all of it looks worse than last season.
The standard for Brady is Super Bowl or bust.
Okay. But he has 7 of them. What more do you want?
Okay.
You never saw the episode. You never saw the interview with Larry David and not Larry David. Larry King and Seinfeld, Jerry Seinfeld, and he's asking, you know, basically, you know, what happened with Seinfeld? Were you canceled? And Jerry Seinfeld goes, canceled? We were the number one show. We walked away on top. What do you mean canceled? We chose to walk away. Brady, walk away on top. You don't have to. You are Seinfeld. You don't have to come back. It's okay. You're number one. You are forever number one. Just move on. Let it go. Close the book. For the love of God, close the chapter.
Hey, I'm with Ashley on this one. Now, granted, Tom Brady, you're one of my favorite football players of all time, but man, it's time to hang it up. I'm ready to see you on TV, I'll be honest. But all right, next statement. Sauce Gardner is the best cornerback in the NFL.
Fact or foolish? I'm gonna go, man, you know I love my Jets. Sauce Gardner is the best corner in the NFL. Fact or foolish? You got Patrick Surtain out there. Because I'm a Jet and it's equal, I'm gonna go fact. I'm gonna go fact here because Sauce put a little bit more sauce on it. You know, Pat is so smooth. You talk about a technician, he can easily be number one. But it's so cool to see these young corners rise to the top so quickly. It usually takes a long time for these corners to come in and actually contribute at a high level. There's only been a few guys that ever do that in the history of the NFL. Darrell Revis being one of those guys. You see him being a first ballot Hall of Famer. If Sauce Gardner keep this up, if Patrick Surtain keeps this up, they're going to find themselves in the Hall of Fame as well. But it's a toss up between Sauce and Pat. But I'm gonna go with Sauce because Sauce, I like how he played the game. I love the jewelry. I love the teeth. I love all of that. I seen him lock down some of the top wide receivers. Jamar Chase, I was at that game standing on the sideline, and that was a big deal. And then he stepped in with so much confidence. And if you go back to our series on this show, you know, right here on our YouTube channel, On the Go, we stopped in Florham Park for training camp. And we spent myself, Shady.
By the way, New Jersey, not New York.
That's right.
I just want to put that out there. I know they're the New York Jets, but that's New Jersey.
Right. So we stopped in there, and Adam Pac-Man Jones, Shady McCoy, and we probably spent 45 minutes with Sauce. Mm-hmm. And it was amazing just going through, like, technique and, you know, what is he going to do if a dude outside release this way, if you inside release that way. And what really stood out to me was his football IQ. Like, he really knows the game. He's a student of the game.
Was
so I'm gonna go
fact. Before or after they asked you if you wanted the same omelet?
This was after. Okay. This was after. I was feeling really good.
If so you I'm guys go fact. Missed that story, Brandon had a tender moment when reflecting on all his former teams. He said the Jets still remember his omelet order and his chicken sandwich order, and he almost shed a tear.
I know.
It was a very was he's beautiful. Reminiscing now, and he's I see the his eyes starting to water up.
Was
that chicken sandwich that good? Or
it was good. It was like it was back when I was eating meat. It was I would get just regular, you know, white bread, toast it, put some mustard on it, some bacon, chicken breast, some jalapenos, I believe. And that's what it was. It was nice. It was nice.
Okay, let me ask you this. When it comes to corners, what do you prioritize the most in criteria? Is it passes defended, solo tackles, interceptions? Rank them.
For me, it's about mano y mano. That's it. I don't care about all of that, right? Because Darrell Revis is a guy, and we had this conversation on the show with Asante Samuels where he's talking about it's all about the numbers. It's all about the numbers. I disagree because there's times where we're sitting in, you know, an offensive meeting, and we're talking about our game plan for the week, and we're going against Nnamdi Asawa. We're going against Darrell Revis. We're going against Champ Bailey. We're going against some of the best, and you got Coach – Mike Shanahan, the pop, saying we're not throwing that way. So they don't get as many opportunities. They don't get as many targets, right? So for me, it's about a guy that can travel. If you're not playing man-to-man and you're not traveling, I can't even put you in a conversation and discussion. Even when you're playing zone and you're doing other things, I want to see you on the sideline going to the coach when you see Jamar Chase, Tyreek Hill, or Stephon Diggs getting off. Be like, yo, I'm guarding him. Even when the coach say no, like, no, we got to go play zone, and you tell the team, man, I'm guarding. I don't care what coach say. So for me, it's all about that. It starts there. So that's why you see the Patrick Surtains and the Sauce Gardens of the world sitting where they're at, because they're guys that can really travel and lock down the top pass catchers on the opposing team.
Here for it. Corey, what else you got for us?
All right, moving on. the Miami Dolphins will be Super Bowl contenders if Tua stays healthy next season. Fact or foolish?
That's such a weird question. That's like if I was 6 feet tall and 100 pounds, I could be a runway model. You know what I mean? Like, it's just obvious. I mean, yes, if he can stay healthy, but I'm genuinely concerned for Tua. It's not just from a football standpoint, from a quality of life standpoint. Like, I don't know if he can sustain another concussion. Like, it's worrisome. I hope that the Miami Dolphins are putting him in a position to protect him as much as possible, but injuries in the NFL happen. Unfortunately, concussions in the NFL happen. And he has sustained a lot of them. So it is, it's literally just, you're waiting for the final straw that breaks the camel's back. And it's hard to put all your stock into a team that their quarterback may be just one concussion away from not being able to lead this team anymore. So I don't know. Yes, if he can stay healthy, is it probable that he won't sustain another injury, another concussion? Probably not. It's the NFL. It's a dangerous game. It's a physical game. So I'm going to say fact, but it's also kind of like, what's the alternative? You know what I mean? Like, how do you avoid it from happening?
Yeah, so you have, for me, Ashley, I'm going to go foolish. Mm-hmm. So I hear what you're saying with the injuries and everything. No, you know what? I'm going to change. I'm going to go fact. I'm tripping.
Okay.
If he's healthy, I go fact.
Because it's a really good football team.
Because like, it almost went over my head. They just brought in Vic Fangio as a defensive coordinator, right? Mm-hmm. So that defensive coordinator is legendary. When you think about Vic Fangio, I think about Mike Zimmer. I think about Leslie Frazier. I think about the Rex Ryans of the world. I think about, there's just some defensive coordinators. Even Lovie Smith's cover two, pretty vanilla defense back in the Chicago Bears, Monsters of the Midway's days. Dick LeBeau, right? Like, Vic Fangio's that good. He's been around the NFL for damn near 50 years, you know, at all levels, whether it's, you know, an assistant to defensive coordinator to head coach. So I like this. I think that Tua, you know, and it's not just me saying, it's not my opinion, but he was easily, you know, one of the top three quarterbacks in the NFL when he was playing. This team was unstoppable. What they did with the RPO, run pass option, they could do whatever they want. They had two wide receivers, I believe, that went for 1,500 yards. Like, you add Vic Fangio to that, to a defense that was already playing well. Mike McDaniels is going to be in year two. He's going to get better. Who would have thought that the dude would come out and be that good? Mm-hmm. He was phenomenal, right? So I like this. I'm going to go fact here.
All right.
Cool. All right, guys. So yesterday, Jaguars wide receiver Calvin Ridley was actually reinstated into the NFL. Now, if you guys remember, he was suspended all last year for violating the NFL's gambling policy, right? So I want to ask you guys, fact or foolish, Calvin Ridley will be a top five receiver in the NFL next season?
Foolish. I'm not putting him over. I mean, I'm thinking of top five in my head right now. You got Devontae Adams, that's one. Justin Jefferson.
Is he, though?
We got Jamar Chase, that's three. You still got to put Diggs in there. Probably, depending on who you ask, it's Debo, it's Tyreek, it's Cooper Kupp. I mean, that's rounding out the top five right there. Right, so, like, top 10? Probably. Top five?
CD, you're not going to say CD?
CD, depends. I mean,
wow.
I'm just naming. No, this is not my order.
But you just named six, seven.
I wasn't naming every single wide receiver, top wide receiver. I'm just.
But I'm just.
CD's always in,
like,
my top five.
You said Stephon Diggs. You said Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson.
CD, you know what it is. You and I are here. But that's not my top five. But I will say, it's going to be hard for him to crack that top five, especially being gone from the game for a year. I mean, you can speak to this more than I can, but I know from a basketball standpoint, like, your body has to get reacclimated to playing in the NBA. I'm sure it's the same for the NFL. Like, yeah, you may have a year off your time. You know, they say, like, you age backwards when you're moved from the game for that amount of time, right? So if you've been in the league for, say, 6 years. Now it's really 5 years because you got a year off your time. But
right.
It's also an adjustment period to get reacclimated to that level of physicality, to playing against those guys, the speed. A year's a long time to be away right. from the game.
Yeah. Listen, I'm really excited about his return.
Me sure. He's going to be top 10 for sure, though.
No.
That's what I said beginning. Not top 5, but top 10
so,
for sure.
So I'll go foolish here. I'm excited about his return. He's going to be paired with, you know, Trevor Lawrence and, mm-hmm. and Duval. Trevor Lawrence turned it on the second half of the season. What they were able to do down there in Jacksonville was phenomenal. Nobody would have thought they would have been one of the hottest teams to end the year, to round out the year last year. So I like this for him, but he won't crack the top 10. He may not even crack really? The top 15. Listen, you missed a few names. A.J. Brown. CD Lamb, sorry, CD, I'll mention you if Ashley Nicole Moss allegedly won the
CD, I don't have to prove my love to you.
Dallas Cowboys fans out there.
I don't need to do this.
Devontae Smith, Terry McLaurin, you have Amari Cooper, Mike Evans, Christian Kirk had a big year, Jarrett Wilson had a big year, DK Metcalf, Chris Olave, what is he going to do?
Who's Mike Evans' quarterback now?
With Mike Evans?
Yeah.
That's a good question. But he's still a baller.
Yeah,
he did
but I'm
it
saying
he did, it, he did it. He did it. He did it with Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Your quarterback matters.
He did it with Ryan Fitzpatrick. Yeah. He did it with Winston. He, you know,
your
of
quarterback
course, Tom
and
Brady.
Your schemes
and then he also
though.
Did it with Tom Brady, right? You said Tom Brady's washed.
Well,
you said he should retire.
I never said he was washed. Don't put words in my mouth. I said he's not. He was not playing at the level of Tom Brady that we are accustomed to. I never said Brady was washed. Do not
sure?
put that.
Can we rewind the tape? Can we rewind the tape?
I never said Brady. That never came out. I would never use Brady and washed in the same sentence.
Fact check.
Ever. We don't need to fact check it. My memory works. I would never say that.
Okay.
Ever.
All right. So no, this is foolish for me, Corey in the cut. I'm going to go foolish.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, moving on, guys. The NFC East is the most competitive division in the NFL.
Fact
or foolish?
Fact.
Fact?
Yeah. I say fact because it's usually always the most close. And it always – the most close. It's always the closest. It comes down usually to one or two games, and they're usually division games. Yeah. And if you look at the statistics, there's never been in the last, I want to say, 15 seasons, there has never been a back-to-back winner of the NFC East.
Yeah.
Like, every single season, it switches. Like, that's insane.
Because they so trash.
No, it's because...
because his division is trash. It's not that good.
It's not because... I think it's because it's not evenly matched, but it's within those four teams, it's very competitive mm-hmm. in the sense that, like I said, it always comes down to one or two games, and they're usually division games. There's a lot of – it's the best reality show in football. There's a reason it's called that. You never really know what's going to happen. You have a favorite going into – I would not be surprised if the Eagles did not win the division next year. That is just how the NFC East works. It's probably going to be the Cowboys again. Like, it's going to – it is going to be the Cowboys again. Let me rephrase that.
you are just, a terrible Dallas
it just,
Cowboys
It
fan.
Just always switches on and off. So, for me, I feel like the uncertainty of it and the unpredictability of it is what makes it the most competitive.
Listen, I like the AFC North. You got the Cincinnati Bengals, Baltimore Ravens, Pittsburgh Steelers, even the Cleveland Browns. What would Deshaun Watson do in year two, in those pads, in that uniform? It's foolish for me because we're in the offseason right now. In the offseason, there's so many things that's going to change. Guys are going to come and go. Coaches come and go. So things will change. Last year, they were. This year, it could easily be the AFC North. It could easily be the AFC West. We thought going into last year that the AFC West was going to be the toughest team, right? Because everyone had defense. Everybody had quarterbacks, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you had, you know, the Las Vegas Raiders struggle and the Denver Broncos struggle. So what's going to happen in that division? Ashley, I disagree with you on the NFC East. I don't think it's because they're that competitive. I just think that they don't know how to sustain success. That's what I believe.
But you know what? I also think it's the most competitive because those four teams genuinely hate each other. Like, the fan bases genuinely hate each other. Like, it is a four-way hate square there. Like, every single team within the NFC East has a legitimate beef with the other.
I agree with that.
The Eagles hate the Cowboys. The Cowboys hate the Eagles. The Giants hate the Cowboys. The Cowboys hate the Giants. Everyone hates the Commanders. Like, it's literally a beef. There is never – that's what makes it also – I think so much fun to watch, and that unpredictability factor, because those fan bases really don't like each other. Those teams don't like each other. There's so much history within those organizations, within each other, that that's why I think it's the most competitive.
Okay, so really
well.
Quick, I know this isn't on our agenda. This is not on our run of our show. Who wins the division? I can't answer
the Dallas Cowboys, obviously.
Why did I ask that question?
It's the Dallas Cowboys every year.
We don't even talk about the Cowboys on the show.
The Cowboys are going to the Super Bowl next year. I'm going to keep saying it until it happens.
Isn't that rule number one?
I'm going to keep saying it until it happens. The Cowboys are winning the division, and they're going to the Super Bowl.
Next year.
One day, I will be right.
Listen, they're not far off. I think we're going to talk a little bit more about Dak Prescott later in the show, so we'll see. All right, Corey in the cut.
All right, guys, this is what we got. C.J. Stroud will be the most successful quarterback in this year's draft class. Fact or foolish?
Man, I'll be honest with you guys. I don't watch these guys until they get in the NFL. You know what I mean? Like, I like C.J. I like the kid. C.J. is the kid from Ohio, right? Mm-hmm. I like C.J.
He's a Buckeye.
Yeah, he's a baller. Our guy down in Bama, he's a baller. There's something special about this kid in Florida. Coming out of the University of Florida, he's big, he's physical, he can make all the plays, you know, in the right system. He may have the most upside. He's a freak, right? But C.J. Stroud, fact or foolish, I think he's more pro-ready now than any of the other quarterbacks in the draft. He can come in right now and have a successful outing, right? Almost like Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts, his first year, remember, he had a stretch at the end of the season where I think it was Carson Wentz. They benched Carson Wentz, and they put him in for six games. And he ran through some of the best defenses out there. He was ready. This kid will be ready.
I think it's a close race between him and Bryce Young, obviously, honestly. I mean, Bryce Young's coming out of Bama.
Yeah.
You know, Bama's basically the NFL of college. Like, it's those guys are coming into league ready to go.
Bama is an NFL team.
Right. It's better than some NFL teams. Yeah. Like,
they won't be in the bottom half.
You come out of Bama, you're essentially a pro before you go pro. I think that CJ and Bryce, though, are very close. I think that people are going to be somewhat not concerned, but maybe wondering how Bryce is going to do. He did come in, I think, at 5'10 at the combine. I believe CJ is what, 6? Somebody fact check that for me, but I think he's 6'3, maybe 6'2, something like that. So he has a little bit of height on him. I don't know if that's such a big deal anymore. How tall is he? He's 6'3. Okay.
Wow.
I don't think that's so much a big deal anymore. In the NFL, I mean, we've seen smaller quarterbacks. When I say smaller quarterbacks, they're all bigger than me. But smaller quarterbacks, you know, win Super Bowls. So I don't know if that's something that's a big deal anymore. But I think Bryce and CJ are very, very close in terms of who the best is going to be. But I tend to lean towards the guy coming out of Bama.
Yeah, I'm interested to watch Anthony Richardson from UF this year. We'll see what happens there. But again, you know, we'll never know until they get under center in the NFL.
You think height matters anymore for a quarterback?
I mean, you tell me if size matters. I don't know.
Listen, they say it's not, what is it? Not the size of the boat, it's the motion of the ocean. But look, that's a different show. I'm serious question because.
Next question. Corey,
we need a transition.
Serious question because there was a time where if you weren't a quarterback who was, say, 6'2, 6'3, you know, they said you could never play in the NFL. Right. And then Russell Wilson happened.
Yep.
And then you see a Kyler Murray. And then you see a Baker Mayfield. Mm-hmm. And then you see a now Bryce Young coming in at 5'10", and there's some other guys who are under 6 feet that I'm
no,
not
Lavona,
thinking
go,
of
go
their
back,
names.
Go back. Joe Namath.
Joe Namath was a small
Drew Brees.
Guy. Yes, Drew. Yeah.
Yeah. Doug Flutie. Yes, Drew Brees. Is short. He's a short.
Like I feel like he's a short 6 feet.
No. Drew Brees. Yeah, Doug Flutie.
That's true.
Has success.
That's true.
You know.
I mean, it was sporadic, but I think when Russell Wilson got into the league, it kind of changed. People, it happened. Drew Brees and those names that you mentioned, but I think Russell Wilson was, if you weren't a believer in the short QB, you were a believer after watching Russell Wilson play with the Seattle Seahawks. So does it matter anymore, or do you still prefer a tall quarterback?
It definitely matters, right? Because, you know, these guys, they have to adjust and adapt to, you know, the throwing angles, because the offensive line could be big, and that is a real thing. Can I see over the line? So they have to have – you know, overly developed traits as far as like anticipation, really understanding, you know, coverage or defense, what's happening pre-snap. They have to be off the charts from an IQ standpoint if they are a shorty.
But not a shorty.
Yeah, it's a short. If you're a shorty quarterback, like you gotta be on
only
your game.
Only in the NFL is 5'10".
Even Kyler Murray, like think about Kyler Murray. What makes Kyler Murray special? Can he throw the ball? And there's, you know, there's a lot of talk about his accuracy, but the dude can throw the damn ball. But what makes Kyler Murray special is like it's like you're playing PlayStation with Kyler Murray, right? Mm-hmm. That's not his game, right? CJ Stroud. So he's one of those guys.
But Bryce Young is a shorter one.
Yeah, Bryce. Yes. Yeah. Thank you for correcting me. Bryce Young, that's not really his game. So it's going to be interesting to see. You know, I would say that his IQ is off the charts.
What's the ideal height for a quarterback?
Give me
like 6'5"?
Ideal? Woo. I mean 6'3", 6'4".
Yeah.
6'3", 6'4". 6'5", like man, that's different. You know, you know who's tall? Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, Trevor Lawrence is tall.
I didn't think he was that tall.
He's tall.
Yeah.
He's a big guy. He's like what, 6'7"?
It just makes it so much easier. Yeah, Justin Herbert. He's tall. He's big.
I interviewed Justin Herbert in LA for Super Bowl. And when he walked on to the stage, I was like, have you always been this tall? Right, like, right, why did I think he was short?
Yeah, tall,
big
guy.
Like, for some reason, big Justin guy. Herbert reads like he's, like, barely 6 feet. But you see him in person, you're like,
no, he's big.
Yeah. Got it. You're not 6 feet. Yep. Okay, you're a big boy. Got it.
Yeah. Corey in the cut.
All right. So for this next one, I'm just going to have to provide just a little bit of context, right? So according to reports from Michael Silver of Bally Sports, the Tennessee Titans are looking to shop King Henry. Derrick Henry is who I'm referring to. So, I mean, with that said, guys, right, like, will Derrick Henry be in a new uniform next season? Fact or foolish?
The only uniform he should not be in is if it's an NFC East uniform. So anywhere else, he's welcome to go. I root for him anywhere else. Don't come to the Giants. Please don't come to the Giants. That's all I ask.
Listen, he's still – you'll see this over the next year or so. There's going to be some big-name running backs that's going to be on the move, whether they're traded, whether they're cut, they're asked to take a pay cut. Well, Ezekiel Elliott, even if McCaffrey doesn't have a big year.
Well, Tony Pollard was franchise-tagged yesterday. So.
Yep, he was. And you look at where King Henry's at right now, he's right in that sweet spot, year five, year six, year seven, where the NFL believe that's the cliff for a running back. I don't believe that. I believe every case is different. Mm-hmm. You know, there's God that's on your side, and there's also how you take care of your body.
And also what offense you've existed in.
Yeah, I mean, you could say there's an argument, right, and Rand is the new general manager down there, so I don't know what he's thinking, but there is an argument that his value is going to be high, is going to be at all-time high this year opposed to next year, right? So when you think about a new general manager coming in and building an organization and want to have sustained success, he wants those pieces, right? Like Derrick Henry, great. Like you, this year, he can potentially go for 2,000. Derrick Henry he's still physical. He's still moving. And I wouldn't say he's still in his prime. I'll say it. Derrick Henry's still in his prime, right? But they're not competing for anything this year, I don't think. I don't think the Tennessee Titans think they're going to go and be a contender and make a run.
I think
now, will they be competitive? Absolutely.
I feel like that window for them has kind of passed.
Right.
There was a window where it was like, dang, they might do it.
Yeah.
And I don't think that window exists.
This is fact. I actually like this for both. I like this. This is a great move for not only the Tennessee Titans, but I like this for King Henry as well.
So where do
if
you
I'm
go?
King Henry, right, like I'm going to try to go play and compete at a high level. And they've been doing that in Tennessee. But, I mean, look, what's going to happen in New York with Saquon? I think they get a deal
Don't
done
come
so that's not there.
To New York,
Buffalo.
Derek, please.
He'll go to New York, but Buffalo Bills.
That's
it's
fine.
Perfect.
Go to Buffalo.
Perfect for him.
Go to
the
Buffalo.
The Baltimore Ravens. That's perfect for him.
After they pay Lamar, it'll be a sick offense.
There you go. Go dump the money there. I like the Baltimore Ravens. I like the Buffalo Bills for King Henry. Look, you got to go get it done, right? Because Buffalo, I keep saying that. I just – what did you call your feng shui when you walked in?
Feng
talking
shui.
About I'm messing up your feng shui?
Mm-hmm.
So the feng shui is off in Buffalo. They need a King Henry. They need.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Discover why critics are calling Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes the best film of the franchise.
What a wonderful day!
It's a jaw-dropping spectacle that demands to be seen on the biggest screen possible.
I need to go.
Hang on.
It is our time.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, now playing only in theaters. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The king to walk in there. That's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
Corey in the gut.
All right. So we got Drake London will make the biggest leap of any of the rookie receivers next season.
Drake London's a baller.
He is a baller.
He's a baller. It depends.
Leap?
That's a fact.
It's so many
with a
factors.
Caveat.
There's so many factors.
Need a quarterback.
Right.
Who's his quarterback?
Right.
That's everything.
Right.
You know, if he gets a great quarterback, absolutely. I love what he was able to do when he first started last year in training camp. He was always making plays, highlights galore. If he gets a quarterback, I can see this happening for sure.
For sure. Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of factors there. Same thing with Garrett Wilson. I mean, you don't know we don't know who his quarterback's going to be either. There's a lot of there's a lot of question marks for these quarterbacks on this list, which is interesting. Probably it's going to be Jimmy Garoppolo, though.
Talking about the Jets quarterback next year?
It's going to be Jimmy Garoppolo.
Or Philip Rivers.
Why would Philip Rivers come out of retirement?
Is that? Are we talking about that later?
We'll hit on that later.
Philip Rivers has been really coaching his team.
All right, can you let the man run his show? Let the man run his show.
Are we for real? That was not the name I thought you were going to throw at me. Philip Rivers? I haven't seen him since Tony Romo.
Can we, Corey to cut, go.
We got one more fact of foolish, and Ashley actually might like this one.
Oh, God.
Yesterday, Dez Bryant went on live. Right. And one of his guests was actually DeAndre Hopkins. Right. And if you've been keeping up with the news, the Arizona Cardinals are looking to actually shop, you know, DeAndre Hopkins. So fact or foolish, DeAndre Hopkins will be in a Dallas Cowboys jersey next season.
I'm saying fact so I can manifest it. DeAndre Hopkins comes to Dallas. What are we wagering? Like, Listen, I don't even know what I would do. I'll come back to this. But I would be so ecstatic. I'm like envisioning it in my head right now, and I have literal goosebumps. DeAndre Hopkins in a Dallas Cowboy jersey, not to mention the productivity he would bring to the offense. Oh my God. Like, Jerry, I have been a Cowboys fan since 1993, Jerry. I have seen you do a lot of stupid things. You didn't get me Odell when I asked for him. You let Amari Cooper go. This is your chance to make right by us fans, us loyal fan base. This is your chance to undo all the bad that you have done to us this past season. Get me Hopkins. Get me Hopkins, and I will never question you for the rest of the season. But not for the rest of my life, but for the rest of the season. Get me DeAndre Hopkins. That would be huge.
There you go. Let me do this real quick. I'm going to go on Google, hit Jerry Jones.
Not only that, but can you imagine Wikipedia, the leadership and what he would do for CeeDee Lamb's development as a wide receiver?
CeeDee's right where he needs to be.
CeeDee's already incredible. Jerry, imagine having the leadership of DeAndre Hopkins.
Jerry Jones is born on October 13th. In the year of 1942.
He's a Scorpio, explains it.
Oh my goodness. So how old is Jerry Jones? I don't know. It doesn't say here.
What does that matter?
And I can't add. I'm about to tell you really quickly. Can somebody
Jerry
help
Jones?
Me here?
Isn't he like
how old is Jerry Jones? Yeah, like how old is Jerry Jones? He's 81. Thank you so much. Jerry Jones is 81. Jerry Jones won the Super Bowl. If Jerry Jones wants to hoist a Lombardi again, he has to make a splash. He has to make a splash, okay, at the wide receiver position. I don't know if it's Odell. I don't know if it's DeAndre Hopkins. But this is a nice move. This will be a great position, a great fit for not only DeAndre Hopkins, but also the Dallas Cowboys. And also for Dak. Listen, Dak is to me a really good quarterback, potentially even a great quarterback. We'll talk about that later in the show. But Dak had a tough run last year. Dak needs to get his confidence back. You know, there's really a few ways a quarterback can get their confidence back, right? Throw some touchdowns, maybe even get a receiver that they can close their eyes and just throw it up to, and that receiver, those 50-50 balls turn into 80-20 balls. And it just makes his life easier. So I actually really like this move for not only the Dallas Cowboys, but also Dak getting back to greatness. I like this move. I'm going to go fact here. Because Jerry Jones is 81. He got
to
do
something. What does it have to do with anything?
Because if you look at, remember back in like the early
2000s. He was 80 when he let Amari Cooper go.
The early 2000s, he was paying a lot of people. Mm-hmm. He was really getting after it. Mm-hmm. Then they shifted gears. And they started really building within the draft. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are like, oh, they're going to come out. Jerry and Steven Jones, they're going to go get the biggest. And they never did it. I think that changes this year. I think they go out there and they make a big splash or two because Jerry Jones is 81. Jerry Jones wants to hoist that Lombardi again. How many times you see Jerry Jones sitting in that box so close to the playoffs, so close to advancing to the next round, and he pissed off sitting there. Pissed off. This is fact. DeAndre Hopkins to the Dallas Cowboys. And yes, Ashley Nicole Moss is going to make the biggest bet of them all when this happens. Can't wait to see it. Corey from the cut. Corey in the cut.
All right. So, yeah, we're going to transition to a segment we call the Daily Route, right? We'll just take you through more of what's going on in sports. So one of the, you know, bigger stories yesterday was actually the Seahawks, right, and Geno Smith. So according to reports, Geno Smith and the Seahawks have agreed to a 3-year deal worth $105 million.
Good for him.
Yeah, no, that's really good for Smith, right? Now, Smith notably led the Seahawks last year, right, to a playoff berth, and he did that while leading the NFL in completion percentage, right? So, I mean, what are you guys' thoughts on this, right? Are we happy for Geno Smith?
I think the 3 years is a sweet mark. We had this conversation a couple of shows ago when Pete Carroll was saying they may draft a quarterback this year. And I said, it makes sense because Geno's not there forever, QB.
Yeah.
You know, probably 2-3 years max. They're going to start preparing for the future. And the future is to win another Super Bowl, to return to that Legion of Boom era where the Seahawks were a team that when you saw them on your schedule, you're like, crap, I gotta play. We gotta play those guys. Like, this is not gonna be fun. They wanna get back to that. So is Gino the guy that's gonna take them there? Probably not, and that has nothing to do with his skill set. The team is going through a weird rebuilding era. You still have pieces that make you competitive, but not competitive enough to win the whole thing.
Yeah.
And Gino's gonna be the guy, their transition quarterback. He's gonna be the guy who probably is gonna bring them into multiple playoffs. You're gonna be able to see somewhat. You're gonna be able to see some success in that aspect, but it's not gonna be until they bring in their next Russell Wilson, their next franchise guy, and they've really taken these next few years to really start rebuilding this team, and you know, gutting it and you know, filling those spaces in, that you're gonna go ahead and return to that era. But 3 years is a sweet deal. And I think Gino is going to bring them a nice amount of success in 3 years. So I'm not mad at it at all.
I'm going to say this first before I go into my point, because I may piss Gino off or a few others. But congratulations.
Would you piss him off by saying congrats?
Can we give him his flowers, give him love? Congratulations,
Gino. I say congrats. Love this. Yay, Gino.
For Gino to be in this position, it took a lot of perseverance. Mm-hmm. It took a lot of resiliency. Ashley, what did we say in the first week? The first day we started the show, we couldn't figure out what the hell he said after that game. He said, they wrote me off, but I didn't write back, right? Like, this is a real story. This is a big story. So I just want to say congratulations to Geno Smith. Geno Smith was my roommate when I was traded from the Chicago Bears to the New York Jets. So that first offseason, he and I was – like this that entire offseason. And I was hard on Gino. Gino, I felt like he wasn't ready to lead the organization. I didn't think he was, you know, ready to be the guy because he didn't want to do the little things, right? And so I'm extremely proud of Gino turning it around. And we talked about Ja Morant yesterday. It's like some guys just come in, like myself, that you're just immature and you're just not ready for all that the NFL, the NBA has to offer and is thrown at you, right? It takes a few years. So for Geno Smith to get this opportunity to be a starter again and then take advantage of it, congratulations.
Absolutely.
Right?
Because
also you got to think about the black quarterback. The black quarterback, it's either, and that's in all positions, right? And I know we don't like to talk about black and white, but you have to be an overachiever to get some of these top roles, whether it's on television, whether it's in, you know, corporate America.
You have to be
twice as good. You have to be exceptional. In the NFL, it's the same. It's either you're a starter or you're out the league. There's not too many black backup quarterbacks. Do we have a few more over the last year or two? Absolutely. So things are changing there, and I'm happy to see it. With that being said, the Seattle Seahawks won this deal. They won this. They won a negotiation. This is basically a one-year deal, right? It's a three-year deal, $105 million. There's 52 guarantees. So what does that mean? Let's break it down. The first year, he's making $35 million. $35 million put him as a top 10 quarterback, right at number 10. The second year, right, is pretty much $12 million. That's what it is, right? Think about that. They can have Geno Smith in the first 2 years for $52 million, which means he's paid handsomely in year one. Year two, oh, man, Geno, you know, if things don't work out, we can easily put you to the bench. We can put you on the bench. You're only taking home, you know, 52 in the first 2 years, what really gives you, you know, a year one starter, year two, your backup. The average base for a backup quarterback, a really good backup quarterback, is right around that, right around $8 to $12 million. So then they draft a guy and they can do away with you in year three. If I'm Geno Smith, I would have held out a little bit longer. I would have asked for more guaranteed money. I would have tested the market to only have really a year and a half guarantee. I think the Seattle Seahawks got the best end of this deal. So congratulations to Geno Smith, but I wish he fought just a little bit harder.
Yeah. All right, moving on, guys. So not only does Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones believe in Dak Prescott, right, or believe him as the quarterback of the future, he also believes that he has characteristics similar to Tom Brady. Now, this is what he told Michael Gelkin of the Dallas News. He said, Just as Brady became, in my mind, better and better and more impactful on how they won as he got into his career, I think Dak has those qualities. I think he can get better, right? Now, something to note is that, you know, Brady won 3 Super Bowls in his first 5 years in the NFL, but he also had success pretty late in his career, right? He actually won 4 championships after the age of 35. Dak is only going to the next season at the age of 30. So with that, I mean, can you guys co-sign, you know, that statement by Jerry Jones? Is Dak Prescott, you know, a good quarterback?
Ashley, not only can I co-sign the statement by Jerry Jones, I will actually go out on a limb and say that Dak Prescott is actually a great quarterback. Let me ask you guys a question. Drew Brees, is he good or great?
If you ask me?
Yeah.
Drew Brees is a great quarterback.
Yeah, he's great.
Tom Brady.
Well, was a great quarterback. He retired.
Tom Brady.
The greatest.
Great.
The greatest. So great.
The GOAT.
What about Ben Roethlisberger?
He showed signs of greatness.
I'm going to say he was a good quarterback.
Okay, let's say he's good. Maybe a tweener in between and great.
He rode the fence sometimes. There were glimpses of greatness in there.
Okay. So can we do this, right? Because I just, you know, there's a lot of chatter around Dak Prescott. And sometimes, you know, we look at 1 year or a couple of games and we say, ah, this guy's not good enough, right? Even, you know, one of our co-hosts here, Shady McCoy, legendary rant, you know, went viral. He's ass, he's ass, he's ass. And I respect that. I understand what Shady was saying as far as throwing picks. We know that. Look, ball security is job security, yours and mine. If you turn the ball over, we have no chance of winning. But when we compare Dak Prescott to these quarterbacks that we said were great, and then one quarterback that's probably in between good and great, then his numbers don't lie. Let's look at it. Throw it back up, please, Manderville. Dak Prescott's a great quarterback. This is through 7 seasons, 2,100 yards, 21-plus 100 completions, 24,000-plus yards through the air, 166 touchdowns, 65 interceptions. Look at Drew Brees. The great Drew Brees. Do y'all not remember the second half of his career? It's like every year, every other game, Drew Brees breaks this record. He breaks that record. Hold on. Stop the game. Drew Brees, come out to the middle of the field. Let's clap for Drew Brees. Drew Brees is the man. Drew Brees is going to go down as one of the most prolific quarterbacks ever. Tom Brady, you just said it. He's the greatest.
The GOAT.
The greatest. The GOAT. Look at him through 7. Ben Roethlisberger, look at him. The only thing that's missing on this chart is Super Bowls. If we want to say that's how we're going to judge our quarterbacks, right? Then the conversation changes. But to me, I hate what we do in media where we take our guys and they, you know, we put them on a pedestal, then we tear them down because they have one bad game or a couple bad games or one bad year or not even a bad year, just a difficult year. Dak Prescott is on his way to having a Hall of Fame career. You can't tell me otherwise. The numbers just told me everything, right? So, Ashley, for me, Dak Prescott is not only a good quarterback, he's a great quarterback.
You don't need to tell me that. I've been saying it. Listen, I've been a Dak Prescott supporter, Dak Prescott fan. I will say this, though. I think Dak needs to show that greatness when it means the most. And I think that's been the biggest critique of him in his career is that I'm a firm believer that when you are great at something, when you have the talent, it doesn't come and go. It's always there. It just doesn't show up. Are you able to tap into that and harness it when you need it the most?
Right.
Dak does not forget how to play football. It's always there. There are circumstances, there are situations that arise that maybe he doesn't look the best, you know, under the best light, I should say, but his skill set is always there. Let's just go ahead and leave it like that. So when I say that it's unfair to go ahead and put the trials and tribulations of a season and the infinite amount of things that can go wrong on one singular person. And I get it. Heavy is the head that wears the crown. Dak Prescott's the leader of that ship. He goes down with the ship. The captain goes down with its ship, right? So when things go wrong, who's the first person you look at? The quarterback. When things go right, who's the first person that you look at? The quarterback.
That's right.
The biggest fault that I can say, the biggest flaw, rather, in Dak Prescott, and it's, you know, it's a legit one, so I can't go ahead and argue with that, is that that greatness that you see in the regular season, those comeback wins, that ability to go ahead and figure out those clutch wins, rather. Last drive, 60 seconds on the clock, Dak Prescott leads him to victory. You don't see that when the wins mean the most. You don't see that in the playoffs. And that's the biggest critique of him. So I will say there is a room for him. There is room for him to take that greatness to the next level. And he has to take it to the next level, because although his numbers match up with the names that we just saw, his accolades don't match up with the names that we just saw. And unfortunately, in the NFL, just like in the NBA, when you talk about why LeBron isn't the GOAT, why? It's because he doesn't have as many rings as Jordan.
Right.
When you talk about Dak Prescott and you rank him against a Patrick Mahomes, or you rank him against some of the other quarterbacks that have come before him, the biggest knock is that he hasn't gone ahead and done it when it meant the most. He doesn't have a Super Bowl. But he doesn't have a ring. Which is a fair critique.
It's
not the only criteria of what makes somebody great. But in a league, in a sports league, a multi-billion-dollar business, as you love to constantly remind us.
That's right, $16 billion.
It is about wins. And it is about wins that mean the most.
But on the other side of
Super Bowls.
But on the other side of the argument, okay, let's look at Ben Roethlisberger. He won two, right?
Mm-hmm.
Defense. He won as a rookie year. There was Jerome Bettis running up and down the field.
I just said,
defense.
But what did I say?
And then you look at Drew Brees. Drew Brees, absolutely. But there's an argument that Drew Brees, with all the records he broke, he underperformed because he should have had three or four Super Bowls.
Well, what did I say? When things go right, it's the quarterback. When things go wrong, it's also the quarterback.
Right,
yes, a Super Bowl is not reliant on just Dak Prescott. There's a lot of things that have to go right for them to win. But a lot of the responsibility falls on his shoulders.
Tom Brady got Bill Belichick and a lot of great players. And look, Tom Brady is the GOAT. Tom Brady is the greatest. But come on, let's not get it twisted. Dak Prescott, let's look at what Dak Prescott got to work with. Dak Prescott, what's his name? Jason Garrett as the head coach? Jason Garrett, are you kidding me? And then on the defensive side, that defense just starts stopping people. Just 2 years ago when Dak Prescott, before he snapped his ankle, Dak Prescott, they were strong for damn near – they had almost averaging 500 yards in total offense a game.
Yes. Well, we can't win. But
because of that defense, you remember the defense,
right?
the one kid, hold on. Y'all had one kid, I forget the safety's name. He was like, what did he say? He said something crazy. He said, yeah, we don't give effort on every play. You remember that kid?
Yes.
Like, what? That's what Dak Prescott got to work with? Come on, man. Open our eyes. Let's peel back the layers. I hate that just surface level talk when we talk football. It's easy to look at a number and say, oh, he threw 9 picks or whatever it is, and now he's saying he trash. Come on.
Listen, I am a firm believer in this ideology and this narrative. I agree with you. But as much as I would like to exist solely in that space, wins matter. And wins that are conducive towards winning a Super Bowl matter. And Dak Prescott, love him. I wouldn't want any other quarterback. I have been a Dak Prescott fan since he put on the jersey and took over from Tony Romo.
Because I loved
Tony Romo. It was hard for
Let's
me
play
that
a game.
Trip.
Let's
that
play a game. Hold on. We're going to make Ashley real uncomfortable right now. Yes, we are.
That.
So right now, there's a trade. Let me see. Where's our Adam Shepard?
I'm not doing this.
Our insider. Oh, shit. there's a trade, a potential trade brewing. Aaron Rodgers and Dak Prescott swap. Would you want Aaron Rodgers?
Uh-oh. Obviously, I would take Aaron. Like, come on now. Aaron Rodgers? That's not even a fair comparison.
You better stop.
It's Aaron Rodgers.
I'm
going to
take this back because I know you. I know
I
you know
Dak.
Dak,
I love you. You know it would have to be Aaron Rodgers. That is not personal. You would take Aaron Rodgers. Like, it's Aaron Rodgers. Of course I'm taking Aaron Rodgers. Are you serious?
See, I like Ashley. She bold. Ashley going out there.
And she knows Rodgers, we win a Super Bowl. It's Aaron freaking Rodgers.
Dak Prescott.
It's not a fair comparison.
Oh, shit.
Give me something that's a little bit more.
Oh, y'all ain't see Cam's new show. Cam, new NFL Insider Cam said that Lamar Jackson and Dak Prescott could be an even swap. You want Lamar Jackson or Dak Prescott?
No, I would keep Dak.
You keep Dak.
I keep Dak over Lamar.
We got any other ones?
I would keep Dak over Lamar, but I would take Aaron Rodgers over Dak Prescott.
Okay.
And that's just, I'm sorry. That's not.
I got what I needed. You threw your man under the bus.
I didn't throw him under the bus. It's Aaron Rodgers.
You could have easily had an easy out. You could have easily said.
Aaron Rodgers.
You could have easily said, look, Aaron Rodgers is 39. Aaron Rodgers is done. I don't know what I'm going to get out of him for how long.
It's one of the greatest, if not the greatest passer of the football in the history of the sport. And you're asking me if I would take an opportunity to have Aaron Rodgers for 2 years, do you know how I would go? I would probably two-peat. That's not me. Listen.
Okay. What Dak, we got?
Anyone but Aaron Rodgers, I would not trade you for. You know that. Okay. I'm team number four all the way. But if he said Aaron Rodgers, okay, that wasn't even a lot. That wasn't even a fair. That's like asking if I would take Tom Brady over Dak Prescott. Really?
Would you take Tom Brady at 46 if he come out of retirement and he said
with the Dallas Cowboys offense?
Right now.
Absolutely. It's Tom Brady. Are you serious?
Oh, my goodness. You are bad.
He's literally giving me two of the greatest quarterbacks who ever played the history of the game.
I said at 46. I gave you another out, Ashley. I said he's at 46.
It's Tom Brady.
It's Tom Brady. Are you for real?
Yo, y'all
it's
tripping.
Tom Brady.
Listen, Dak Prescott is not
only
a...
I love you. He said Tom Brady. Like, it wasn't... Next. What am I supposed to do?
Okay, let's go to the next. Corey in the cut, what we got?
Corey in the cut. All right, let's talk to franchise tech, guys. Today officially marks the deadline for teams to place the franchise tag on a player of their choice, right? So for those who are not familiar with the franchise tag, it's basically a designation a team may apply to a player scheduled to become an unrestricted free agent, right? The tag binds the player to the team for 1 year, if certain conditions are met, right? Each team only has one franchise tag of either the exclusive or non-exclusive form and one transition tag per year. How do you guys feel about this, right? Like, are teams taking advantage of their players with this franchise tag?
For sure.
Listen, there's absolutely no benefit to the player when they're getting tagged, right? In business, you know, look, one side can take advantage of the other side. That's not good business. Good business is when we sit at the table, one side give a little bit, the other side gives a little bit. That's a fair deal. That's what you want to do when you sit at the table. This rule, and you got to go back in time and understand the origin story, right? This rule was put in place in 1992. Remember what happened in 1992? That was the year where we implemented free agency. That was the year where we start implementing the salary cap. This is called the John Elway rule. Pat Bowlen flew to New York, right? We're talking about Central Park in the Motorola, the motor whatever's building on the 50th floor and said, I can't lose John Elway. He looked at him. And you know what? After about 3 weeks of going back and forth and negotiating, the league came out with the franchise tag so Pat Bowlen can keep John Elway. They never thought any other player outside the quarterback would be able to get franchise tagged. So now you look, you know, how many years later, 20, 40, how many years is that? Help me out. Fact checker. I can't even count tonight. But all these years later, we still have the franchise tag in place. In 2011, the collective bargaining agreement was up, right? We had an opportunity as players to push back on the franchise tag, and we didn't. Why? Because we said, you know what, it's only hurting a handful of guys, so we don't want to give up too much. The owner said it was too fruitful. The owner said there's no way we're gonna give up the franchise tag. They can go out there and franchise tag a guy back-to-back-to-back seasons if they want to. That is not okay. Why isn't it a fair deal? Because I said this at the top of this point. Because if a guy goes out there and snap his ankle, tear his ACL, have an Odell Beckham Jr. moment, now he has no opportunity to recoup what he potentially could have had in the future. This is not a good deal, and it's time for the NFL players to stand up and get this shit banned. NFL owners, this is not a good deal. You need to throw this shit out. This John Elway rule, a.k.a. the prison rule, the prison tag, it needs to be banned from the NFL, and now we can't wait 5 years, 6 years when we sit at the table again for collective bargaining. It needs to be done. That's my point.
Well said, Brandon.
That went on a rant. Did I go on a rant?
I have nothing else to add. All right.
So we're heading into our last topic, right? So
this is the last topic.
It's our last topic.
Can I take care of some house? housekeeping stuff.
What's that? Yeah, yeah, do your thing.
Man, appreciate everybody rocking with us. You know, this is our second week, day two of our second week. You know, it's pretty cool being a YouTuber.
You're a YouTuber? Stop saying that.
We're YouTubers.
I'm not a YouTuber.
Look, 70% of people who watch these shows, whether it's our show or another person's show, they're not subscribers. That's big deal, right? Like, if we want to continue to put this content out, make sure you guys hit that button below, subscribe, continue to rock with us. Shout out to Celsius for coming in as a partner. We really appreciate you guys, and it fits our brand and what we do. You know, as athletes, you know, we're high performers. We're always diving into how we take care of our bodies, even when we're sitting here in this new realm, in a new arena, talking about sports. So appreciate you guys there. So continue to rock with us. But back to Corey in the cut for our last topic to end the show.
Yes, sir. So we mentioned earlier, right, that Rich Eisen, you know, got a little bit of tea from, you know, those talking at the combine last week, right? So one of the other rumors that he shared with everyone on his show was that Phillip Rivers, right, who notably hasn't played since the 2020 season, actually reached out to both the Dolphins and the 49ers at the end of last season. Now, if you remember, 49ers were experiencing a bunch of injuries and whatnot. They got Trey Lance go down. They had Jimmy Garoppolo go down. But, of course, you know, Brock Purdy filled that void. And then with the Dolphins, it was the same deal. Tua went down. Teddy Bridgewater went down. But they found their guy in Skylar Thompson. But, you know, the question is, if Phillip Rivers, you know, decides to, you know, pitch to a couple more teams, you know, this offseason, which team do you think would make the most sense for him?
Now you see why we wanted to hold
it. Phillip, be for real. Like, be for real.
I love it.
Please be for real. None of those teams should work. Phillip Rivers should continue coaching whatever little league team he's coaching for his kids. Like, come on. It's just this whole thing about not knowing, like, when to just give it up is insane to me. I haven't seen Phillip Rivers play football since Tony Romo was in the league. Tony Romo is getting the bag at CBS. He has no interest in stepping back foot on the gridiron. He's making Skechers money. He's making CBS money. He's making Subway money. Phillip, go make some endorsement money. The football game has passed you, my dear. Like, it's okay. It happens to the best of them. Phillip, I better not see you lace up this season. That is insane. Be for real. Listen, be for real.
Let me sit up for this. Woody Johnson.
Oh, my God. There,
for you guys that don't know who Woody Johnson is, that's the owner of the amazing New York Football Jets. You know how it felt, right? Saw you out there in AZ, owners meeting right there at the hotel, stepped to you and said, you know what? I love Aaron Rodgers, one of my favorite quarterbacks. But when I look at the makeup of this team, I think we need to go with a Derek Carr. I don't know what happened. Maybe Derek Carr asked for too much money. He ain't see the vision. And I said, what? If he does that, then we go to Jimmy G. Then we go to Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, he's still sitting out there. I like that possibility, but I'm trying to win for the next 5-6 years, right? So what I'm saying is, if we don't get Jimmy G, right, and Aaron Rodgers stays in Green Bay, I like Phillip Rivers. Because what you talking about, Ashley, you gotta go back to the numbers.
Old.
It doesn't matter. Just 2 years ago when he was playing, it wasn't that long ago, he finished 11-5 in the AFC South. He threw for 4,100 yards, 24 touchdowns to 11 picks.
It's going on.
I love it.
Years.
And guess what?
The league looks drastically
have
different.
Ever,
from the
have you not seen Brett Favre? Have you not seen Peyton Manning? He was done even when he was playing. He couldn't even throw it 30 yards. But have you not seen Mike Vick? Have you not seen Drew Brees and even Phil Sims? They still throw the ball. That's all I need you to do. I got my defense. Bring me Phillip Rivers. Situational football, leadership, knowing what to do, when to do it. That's all we need out of the quarterback position. Don't mess it up. Don't throw no picks. And that is a big thing with Aaron Rodgers. But what I will say is, just 2 years ago, 24 touchdowns to 11 picks. Can you do that again? Can you do that again? Woody, I like it. I like it. Corey from the cut, what we got? We done? What they say, what Birdman said, we done or we finished? We finished?
We finished, man. We finished.
We finished. Hey, Ashley, you good?
Phillip, don't do it. Just please, for the love of God, don't do it. It's
needed
just,
to reiterate that message.
Just
huh?
Don't do it. Be for real.
Appreciate you guys tuning in. Another episode of Paper Route. presented by I Am Athlete, presented by Celsius, presented by, you know, Roman and so many other amazing partners. We'll see you guys tomorrow. I don't know what we're going to talk about. Lamar Jackson, that saga. What's going on with Ja Morant? Is he coming back? Is he not coming back? We got so much more to talk about. Tune in. We got Lil Wayne on the text. We got, we got Deshaun Jackson coming up. Big episodes to follow. Love, peace.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.